Anybody here not like food? Okay, just thought I'd better check on that. Might have to do a little counseling. Anyway, God is good. He's blessed us so much. I'm killing time because I'm trying to find my notes here. That's always good if you can find your sermon notes. Otherwise, you might be in for a surprise. Yeah, well, we all might be in for a surprise. Well, we are here on what is normally and traditionally referred to as Palm Sunday. And we'll get to that. I have a main text listed here, but we will get to that too. Before we get to our main text, we're going to be looking at a couple other passages. And so just you might want to look in your notes on your bulletin there to kind of see what's coming ahead. One of the blessings that God has given to us are senses. We have five senses, right? Some of you have senses? Yes. One of the frustrations that I ran into is after COVID, I lost part of my senses. Not my thinking. Some of you, I lost that a long time ago. Anyway, taste and smell kind of went by the wayside for me, and it's still slowly coming back, and some things are not right. But in the meantime, you know, we are blessed by God to have the sense of smell. With this ability, we can enjoy a lot of things, and we can be warned about certain things that we should avoid. Before COVID, I used to just love the smell of fresh baked bread. Anybody with me on that? Or barbecue. Oh, yeah. And now it's not there. Kind of frustrating, you know? But anyway, we press on and I'll eat anyway. Don't not call me, okay? I'll try. God has blessed us with the blessings of life. And there are some things, though, that we detest. A dead skunk, or as far as that goes, any animal that's dead, it has a peculiar stink to it that we really don't want to be around. However, I used to have a friend down in Lordsburg. He was a trapper. And if he heard news that there was a dead skunk someplace, he'd run to it because he would take some of that scent and he would go coyote trapping. Coyotes love the smell of dead. The stinkier, the better. And so I let him do that. I didn't join him. I think most of us would say, go ahead, do your thing, but just stay away from me. But, yeah, my life on the farm included a lot of unpleasant tasks, including disposing of some dead animals as well as their waste products. The sooner you got rid of the smell, the better, because with time and heat, the smell magnified greatly. And of course, if it's a dead animal, you want to get rid of it as soon as possible. In contrast to that, with springtime upon us, what comes in spring? Flowers and all the beautiful smells that you can smell that I can't. The smell of roses, the smell of lilacs, of the various types of flowers. And if you don't have enough flowers around you, you can go down to either the drugstore or to the specialty store and pay from a dollar to thousands of dollars for different aromas that you like to have radiating from you, right? Most of you have some sense of that, and taking care of the different smells of the human body so that we can be pleasant unto one another. It's either powders, sprays, rub-ons, soaps, what you name it, all kinds of perfumes. God's Word refers to several sacrifices that are soothing aromas in the world that are offered to Him. The cost of those sacrifices. Those aromas range from a few dollars to the entire life commitment. These aromas are based upon a willing sacrifices of the one who possesses them, and the reactions of these fragrances are varied in the Scripture. We even find that one source can be detestable to some while it is delightful to others. And we will be getting to that in our study today. Before we do so, would you join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for giving us life and so many blessings. We are surrounded by blessings. We have been blessed with abundant blessings within our bodies. Thank you for the pleasantry of good smells and aromas. And Father, we thank you for warning us in times of trouble against bad things. As we read your scriptures today, Father, help us to see the examples that you've given to us that we might replicate those things that are pleasing to you today. Lead us and guide us. And Father, I pray that we can encourage one another to be a soothing aroma to you as we walk in this sinful world. Lead us and guide us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All of a sudden, I had a swamp frog wants to join me. Looking at our text here, soothing aromas to the world, in the world. God delights in soothing aromas is the first point that I want to deal with. God delights in soothing aromas. We have several examples as we begin, as we quickly pass through the Old Testament. God is the creator of everything, including aromas. He is the one who is delighted with all the various scents. He is the designer of those scents, from the sweetness of the rose, the honeysuckle, lilac, the smell of rain, the pine forest, the cedar, or an orchard blooming, you name it, God created it. He gave it to us to enjoy as a pleasing offering before Him. God also designed the stench to warn us of hazards and to protect us about different creatures. How many of you are glad that you can smell a skunk before he shows up on your doorstep? Yeah, we used to have those wander our neighborhood back in Missouri. And we were glad when we could smell him coming so we could get out of the way. Another interesting bug is the stink bug. And there are several other creatures that have scents that if you smell them, you can get out of their way. God's wrath against sin is appeased by soothing aromas, we learn from Scripture. From the beginning of human sin recorded in the book of Genesis, God accepted burnt animal sacrifices as a substitute for the punishment of the people. Abel offered sacrifices, as did Noah and Abraham, and the list goes on. We see this in Genesis, starting chapter 4 and going on through the book. All the ancient righteous people willfully and gladly offered burnt offerings to God as soothing aromas to God to appease His wrath so that they would not suffer and be punished for sin and corruption. As we move on through the Scripture, the Old Testament, we see that God required specific aromas within the law. They were given through Moses, and they were dictated by God Himself to Moses. God's wrath against Israel's sin was appeased, first of all, by the burnt offerings that the people were required to give. Burnt offerings of bulls, of rams, of sheep, of doves, of grain offerings. Now to us, the smell of burning meat doesn't smell too good, but God was designed and required these sacrifices. The offerings of thanks and celebration also included similar sacrifices of burnt offerings. And then we move on in through the law. We see that God also required pleasing aromas of special fragrant anointing oils that he specifically designed to only be used by the priests in the temple. And anybody else who tried to copy those special perfumes were ostracized, were cut off from the people. It was a unique perfume scent, anointing oil that only the priests were to use and only the priests were to have on themselves. We also find in the Old Testament that God designed a special incense that was to be burned constantly in the, first of all, the tabernacle and later on the temple. These were to be burned constantly. The priests were to make them and to burn them. So God delighted in soothing aromas that were offered to him willfully and gladly. As we move on through the scripture, we see that Jesus was pleased with soothing aromas. And here, if you want to turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 7, starting in verse 36, we'll be looking at some verses there. Our Lord interacted with all kinds of people, from those who were well-to-do and probably had perfume on themselves, clear down to the people who were afflicted with leprosy and disease. And those of you who've been around people who are sick, you know that sometimes it's not very pleasant smelling. And especially those who are dealing with leprosy when their skin is literally rotting on their body. That would be a horrible condition, but Jesus did not hold back. He spent time with those people because Jesus was not concerned about the outward appearance. He was concerned about the heart condition of every person, whether or not they loved God and wanted to serve God. So we read along with me here in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 39. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table of the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Now, I'm not going to read on further. You can go ahead and read if you're bored with my sermon, but I'm going to be talking about the next few verses, about the response that takes place. We see that Jesus is eating the meal hosted by this rigid Pharisee. He is one of those individuals who is very strict about keeping all of the law and all of the extra laws that they had added onto the law of Moses, including frequent washing. Every time they went out onto the street and came back home, what was the first thing they would do? They would wash. Starting with their hands, their feet, they would get cleaned up because they felt like if they rubbed shoulders with anybody out there in the world, they had picked up some filth of sin. And they didn't want to be filthy, they wanted to be clean. So here Jesus is invited into this house, actually on false pretenses. The Pharisee was looking for reasons to accuse Jesus, and here he has a prime example of this woman coming off the street. In the unread verses, we see that the Pharisee didn't even offer Jesus the privilege of washing his own feet. Jesus was invited into the house, but not offered the courtesy to have his feet washed either by a servant or to do it himself. Why is that important? They were coming off the streets where what else is out there? Not just people, but also cows, sheep, goats, horses, mules. We don't know what all was out there. And the streets were not clean like we have out here. How many of you have been to a parade? And along come the horse brigade. And usually what's behind the horse brigade? Either Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, or the city workers with shovels and so on. Jerusalem didn't have that. Neither did most of the towns. You walked in the middle of the filth of whatever was out in the street. So the common courtesy was to offer people to wash their feet. But the Pharisee didn't even do that for Jesus. But what is this woman doing? Think about it. The Pharisee had evil intent. But the sinful woman humbly sought for Jesus to honor him. She bowed down at the feet of Jesus as he's laying on this couch facing the table. What is she doing? She's kissing his feet. She doesn't care what's on the feet. She loves the Lord. And while she is kissing his feet, what's happening? Tears are flowing down her face and dropping onto his feet. And what does she do? Oh no, I need a towel? No, she uses what's available. She wipes the tears away with her hair. I can't hardly imagine seeing you ladies do that. But this woman didn't care. She was serious about showing love and appreciation for Jesus, washing his feet with her tears. And as all this takes place, what else does she do? She honored Jesus by sacrificially pouring costly perfume on his feet. We read in verse 38, pouring it out liberally, abundantly, seeking to show her repentance, seeking to show her faith in Jesus. Jesus spoke words of approval and forgiveness regarding this woman in verse 48. Let me go ahead and read that. Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, he didn't have such nice words regarding the Pharisee. He scolded the Pharisee. "You invited me in, and yet you didn't even provide water for me to wash my feet. And look at this woman. She's committed. She loves. She cares." The Pharisee, you're trusting in yourself instead of in the power of God's redemption. This woman sees the truth. Let's move on to another situation, another interesting passage. Jesus was prepared for death with soothing aromas. 2,000 years ago, like today, Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey colt. Multitudes praised him as the son of the King David, the rightful heir to the throne, the future ruler of Israel, the one sent from God. People were anticipating his kingdom. And they thought, this is it. Jesus has been preparing us for 3 years, and now he's going to do it. He's going to show that he's the king. Well, he was going to show them that he was the king, but it was totally different from what they anticipated, wasn't it? Jesus had been telling the apostles about his coming death. We read about that earlier in the communion meditation. And it wasn't just that one time. It was several times. He foretold his capture, his torture, his beatings, his crucifixion, and then that he would rise again. Well, they kind of got hung up on the first part. They didn't connect the dots, even though Jesus told it to them very clearly. The men ignored all that. How could that happen when Jesus was so popular? Just a little while ago, we just healed some people outside the door here. During another meal, we find in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9, if you want to turn there, I'm not going to read the passage, you can read it. Mark 14, 3 through 9, another situation. A woman poured expensive perfume on Jesus' head. Some of the men were sitting around him, some of the disciples, and in particular Judas Iscariot, as well as some of the others, got upset. Why is she wasting all that good perfume? What was Jesus' response? She has anointed my body before the burial. Again, he tells them what's coming. The value of the perfume is given to us there. It's worth about 300 days' wages. That's about 3/4 of a year's wage. I don't know how much you make, but it was kind of expensive, don't you think? And the disciples were thinking, what could we do with that kind of money? And Jesus was thinking, thank you for preparing me for my burial. The value of the perfume wasn't important to Jesus. He said, you'll always have your poor. You can deal with that later. But she has honored me. She has prepared me. Jesus reprimanded his disciples for their selfishness, but he praised the woman for her sacrifice. And she's an example for us. What are we willing to give to Jesus? Jesus' perfect, sinless life was already pleasing to God, but now this woman has prepared his body to be a pleasing aroma to God. We usually don't think about that. But here he is with that sweet-smelling aroma covering from head to toe. And the fourth, the final passage is the one that I've got noted in the bulletin from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. Jesus prepares his servants to be soothing aromas to God. Are you his servant? Jesus has prepared you to be a soothing aroma to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 says this, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those whom are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul and his co-workers considered themselves to be aromas pleasing unto God in a world full of sin. An aroma of goodness. When we put our trust in Jesus, we take on all of his nature, including his aroma of goodness. The stench of the sin of and death are washed away when we give our life to Jesus Christ. Our new life that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't have life except for who? Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He changes our nature so that we become pleasing to God in all aspects, that we become an aroma of goodness. He overcame the power of sin and death through his powerful resurrection. Jesus identified this new condition to Nicodemus as he was being born again through the water, through water and the Spirit. In John chapter 3, after his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus directed the apostles to preach his word and to immerse the believers into Christ. So that's what they did. It's recorded in the book of Acts 8 different times. As people came to Christ, what did they do? If they were believers, repented, they were baptized into Christ and began walking in the new pathway to be pleasing unto God. Romans chapter 6 describes our baptism as our death to sin and being raised as a new perfect person in Christ. Death is not pleasant. Many of you have had to bury a mouse or a cat or a dog or something else. You don't leave dead things laying around. We are described as dead people before we give our life to Jesus. What do dead things do? They stink. Jesus makes us new creatures that are pleasing unto God. We don't stink in the eyes of God anymore if we are living for Him. Here, Paul calls us a fragrance of Christ to God in a world full of perishing, dying people. You who are living in Christ are like an aroma which infiltrates the world. In another analogy, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. What does light do to darkness? It drives it away. What does an aroma, a pleasing aroma do? It drives away the stench. And we are called to drive away the stench as an example to the world in Jesus Christ. As a Christian, other people will either despise you for how sweet you are, or they will desire to be around you. They will want to be around you because of your Christian nature. Verse 16 says that the corrupt in Satan will be reminded of how wretched and how disgusting their life really is. And if they want life, you will have opportunity to share your fragrance, your goodness with those people. During my farming days, I would work around the livestock all day long. And if you're walking and talking and dealing pig, what happens to you? You start smelling like the pigs. And whenever I would leave the pig pens and go and interact with other people, there was a reaction that usually happened. Now, I learned to ignore the smells, otherwise I couldn't have worked it around the pigs. But when you get around people that aren't used to that smell, what happens? Their nose goes up and they say, "Woo! Man, keep your distance." Or they would say something else. When was the last time I had a bath? My microphone's about ready to go out, it sounds like. Anyway, I could react in one or two ways. I could get upset with those people and get mad and never have anything to do with them again. Or I could go get cleaned up. Put on some stinkum that smelled right and get back into society. If you are living outside of Jesus Christ, your dead soul will get worse and worse and it will stink more and more. But if you come to Christ, He can make you pleasing before the Father. And so I just encourage you, be pleasing to God. Be covered with Christ. Be walking in Jesus. Let's choose to be some soothing aromas in our world, pleasing to God through Jesus. That's possible. But if you're trying to do it on your own, you're still going to stink when it comes to God's nose. Let's be pleasing. Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Father, for letting us be soothing aromas through Jesus. We thank you for the covering of His blood that cleanses us, makes us whole. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit who transforms us from the inside out to be pleasing unto you, so that we can put on your nature and become like you and be welcomed by you. Help us to share the good news with the people around us, that they too may have everlasting life in Jesus. Be with us as we go from here. We thank you for this special day. We thank you for the days to come until Jesus comes again. Let us be found faithful and true, we pray in his name. Amen.